Great. Well, as David has already said, the children are joining us this morning. And this is for two reasons. One, what we're looking at speaks directly to them. The church is all ages and includes children. And therefore, it is right that they join us to hear what God says to children. And the second reason is, in Sunday Club, we haven't got enough leaders to put on Sunday Club every week. Which is why the children are here, but we do want them here to hear what God's word says. I don't want that second reason to seem like it trumps the first. Okay? The church is all ages, and when the bit of the Bible that we had read was read originally, there must have been children there because it was speaking to them. Children have always been part of the church, and so it's great that you're with us. We are loving the fact you're in with us. But let me just spell out to the adults in the church, if we want to provide age-appropriate discipleship in a focused way on a Sunday morning, you need to get involved. Primarily parents, as we've been seeing, but not just parents. Now, to honour the fact that you're with us, I've got, the adults have been having their own kind of study guides for small groups and families and things like that. Maybe your parents have gone through some of these questions with you on a Sunday lunchtime or during the week. If they haven't, you need to moan at them because they really should have done. So they're there for the grown-ups to get after the service for the talk this week. But I've prepared a special study guide for children, okay? But just in case some of you adults think, oh, I like the look of that, it's got a very stern warning on there, for children only. So I need some volunteers to just come and dish these out. Can I have some people? Yeah, come on, out you come. I want you to dish them out to all the children. Now, I don't need all the children to come out, otherwise... So I tell you what, could you dish those out? Everyone else go and sit back. I've got my two volunteers. Everyone else go and sit back down. He dish those out to the children. All right, off you go, quick as you can. Dish them out to children. And there are pens available as well. Just the bits of the Bible are in that study guide, so you can lean on the church Bibles, okay, to help you. If you need a pen, stick your hand up and somebody will come along and provide you with a pen. Now, as those children's study guides are being dished out, let me just remind you that this sermon series, Faith and Family, that's great, thank you very much. This sermon series of Faith and Family is... grab one. Sermon series of Faith and Family, it's obviously got a very specific focus on families with young children, or maybe even teenage children, but as we've seen, it does apply to us generally as well as part of God's family, and it applies to us in helping families. If we haven't got children of our own, then we've got a job to do of helping and supporting and getting alongside families to help them to be the families God calls us to be. Hopefully all the children should have their own little study guides. And in that, there are the main points of our sermon. Okay, you're getting a glimpse at what adults do on a Sunday, because one day you're going to be an adult and you're going to join in with us. Now, on the sheet you'll see words at the top, and you've got all the points of the sermon, but they're blanks. And you need to work out which word fits in where. So you kind of need to listen, and you need to engage with what's going on. But before we do that, I just thought I'd set a little bit of empathy from up the front here with you guys as parents. What I mean is recognizing the slog that is parenting. Especially when your children grow up to be a little bit bigger. Oh, hello. Could you click on it, please? As they're just working out the video, let me just tell you a story. I've had to reinstall my laptop this week, which has been a nightmare. And the nightmare carries on, it seems. I'll give it a couple of seconds. Yes.
You doing?
Yep.
You going out tonight?
Yep.
You gonna see your friends?
Yep.
You gonna have a good catch up?
Yep.
That should be great.
Yep.
Where'd you go?
Nowhere.
Who'd you see?
No one.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
Did you have a good time?
Yep.
What's on tonight?
Nothing.
You're not seeing your mates?
No.
You're just staying at home?
Yep.
What'll you do?
Nothing. Yep, yep, nothing, nothing, sort of, dunno, nowhere. Yep, nah, dunno, no one, sort of, dunno, nothing.
You feeling all right?
Yep.
How's your ankle?
Good.
When's your exam?
Dunno.
Have you done much study?
No.
What's on tomorrow?
Dunno.
You playing cricket?
Dunno.
Enjoying cricket?
Sort of.
Sort of, eh?
Yep. Yep, yep, nothing, nothing, sort of, dunno, nowhere good. Yep, no, dunno, no one, sort of, dunno, nothing.
How's your girlfriend?
Good.
Is she away this week?
Yep.
Well, you must be missing her.
Yep.
Have you rung her yet?
No.
Well, I'll catch you later.
Yep.
Don't get too stressed.
No.
What's on tomorrow?
What?
What's on tomorrow?
Nothing. Yep, yep, nothing, nothing, sort of, dunno, no way good. Yep, nah, dunno, no one, sort of, dunno, nothing. Yep, yep, nothing, nothing, sort of, dunno, no way good. Yep, nah, dunno, no one, sort of, dunno, nothing.
That knowing little wink that lets you know that they are actually human and alive when they get to that age. I'm sure some of us can identify with that a little bit, maybe we're starting to. Just that slog of parenting, of leading, of training our children, of engaging with them. Let me encourage you children to not be like that, okay? Let's go for two syllable answers, more than yup. Dunno. We've been looking through Faith and Family. There is a reminder of that session next Sunday evening. Send us your questions. We've had some great questions coming in. We'd like to have more. We'd like to be able to help and serve you by answering some of these questions that you're wrestling with. There's the way that you can do that on the screen. So far this through this series, we've seen that families are made in God's image. God is relational. He is one God with three persons, Father, Son, Spirit. And Father, Son, and the Spirit have related with one another throughout all history, since before time began, and will continue to do so forever. In eternity, God is relational. God is familial in that family sense. So God's family is Father, Spirit, who's designated helper, and Son. And so we see God making families in His image. We, our families, consist of fathers and mothers, that helper role, and children, their offspring. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've seen how the family is to be orientated on the Father, on earthly daddies. And earthly daddies should focus our families on our heavenly daddy. And we saw that mothers are vital in that, in fulfilling that role of helper. Us men can't do that on our own. We must have, we need helpers, and that's where mothers come in. Honoured, uplifted helpers. And we saw last time how parents together are to listen to God's words, accept it, and pass it on to our children. And so this week we're thinking about that role of children in our families. Why don't I pray as we get to work? Father God, I thank you that you have made us to be like you. Thank you that we have families of fathers and mothers and children. Lord, we know that because of our sin, not every family is like that. But as we think about what you call us to be as families, as how we should be as children, I pray that you would help us to live in your image. But we can only do that because Jesus died on the cross to take away our sin. And by his Spirit work in us, we are being made more like Jesus. So we pray that as we look at bits of the Bible today, you would be doing that, restoring your image in us. Amen. Now, put your hands up if you've got a children's study guide, a children's study sheet. If you've got a sheet of paper and you're making notes and drawing things, put your hands up. So, how many children are there in here today? 20 or so? Well, yes, 20 or so into... It's all right, you don't need to count. Don't need to take a register, it's fine. Yes, there are 20 or so children in terms of age, but can you see there are about 120 children in terms of our being, in terms of our relationship? Put your hands up if you have a father or a mother. Everyone. You cannot be human without having parents. You cannot be human and not be a child. You cannot be children and still be human. Every person has ever been born is a child. So we mustn't think about children, as we think about children, we mustn't limit our thinking to just thinking about children by age. But why do we even have children? Why did God make it that way? Well, remember who God is. God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, Spirit. And God made us in his image. That's what we saw in Genesis 1. To show us, to reflect what he is like. Do you remember this? Do you remember this from week one? What is it? Yeah, Martin does. Yeah, so do I. Still cutting my feet on it. What is it? You're not convinced, are you? What is it?
A mirror.
A mirror. What does it do? It reflects. And us as human beings are created to be like mirrors to God, to reflect what he is like. And our families are created to reflect what God is like. And God, forever, in eternity, begets his son, generates his son. The son, for in eternity, forever, so there's never been a point where this isn't true. Jesus comes from the Father. And so, we are made to be like that. Children are created to show what God is like. To show that he is Father and that he has a son. And that's why children were created. Jesus is called the Son of God because he is the Son of God. It's not that it's the best thing in the world to describe him. No. Jesus is the Son of God. And so the best way of showing that is God to create man in his image to be children. And so every aspect of being a person in some way shows us what God is like. And just as God is relational, he's a family, so we are created in that image. If we strive to live according to that Jesus, to Jesus' image, that pattern, we rightly show what Jesus is like in our lives. Now, obviously, Jesus is a child in a very special way. Jesus is born of the Father, comes from the Father in a very special way. Us as children, we cannot be like Jesus in every sense. For example, he's God. We can't be that. He's eternal. We're not. He's perfect. We're sinful. He's holy and righteous, and we are not. We're wicked. He existed before he was born as a man. And that's a big concept to get, but Jesus was born as a man 2,000 years ago, but he existed as a being, as God, before that. We are created when we are born. We come into existence when our mummies and our daddies conceive us. Let's have a look at a bit of the Bible together. Children, it's on your sheets. It's the first bit of the Bible. And it shows us that kind of relationship that Jesus has with his Father. John chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. Adults, feel free to look this up in your Bibles. It's on the screen if that's more helpful. But do check what I'm saying. Do open your Bibles. It says this. This is Jesus speaking. And he's answering some people who are getting really upset because he's kind of making it sound like he's the Son of God. And these people weren't happy with that. So Jesus says this. Gives them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son, that's Jesus, can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. And then if you're in your Bibles, turn on to John 15. It's at the bottom there. John 15, verse 10, again, comes in a passage where God is describing his kingdom, his family, like a tree, like a vine. And that kind of fits, doesn't it? Because what do we say about our families? As we look back through history to find out about our ancestors, we say we're looking at our family. Nice and loud, come on. Tree, yeah, family tree. And Jesus here is saying, my family is like a tree. It's like a vine. And he's saying that some people are stuck onto God's family tree. These are people who believe and trust in Jesus and are saved, have their sins taken away, join Jesus' family the way that you can stick a branch onto a tree. I didn't know that until a few years ago. And then I read this bit of the Bible and found out that actually you can do that. It's amazing. I'm rubbish in the garden, hence why I didn't know. You can stick bits on to a tree and they become part of that tree. And this is what Jesus says in verse 10. If you obey my commands, he's talking about people who have been stuck on to that tree. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. Now, what is Jesus saying in these passages? He's saying that there's the Son. And the Son does everything the Father says he should do. In fact, there is nothing the Son does that the Father hasn't given him to do. He only does what he sees his Father doing. And that bit in John chapter 5, go away and read it when you get home. It's brilliant because you see Jesus saying, look, I can only do my family business just as my Father saves people. That's what I do. And so we see from these bits of the Bible this. If you're writing in your sheets, Jesus loves and obeys his Father. Throughout the Gospels, especially particularly in John, Jesus repeatedly stresses that he's the Son of God. And in John, we see particularly that he says that he loves his Father. That he obeys his Father. And even when Jesus was born of earthly parents to earthly mum and an adopted dad, you do know that, don't you? That adoption is something that Jesus is personally connected to. Let me encourage you to think about that. Jesus is born to an earthly mum and an adopted dad. He still loves and obeys his heavenly father. But how does he do that? He loves and he honours his earthly mum and his adopted dad. He loves and honours his earthly parents. We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, that he honoured and obeyed them. Let me just flip it up. Luke 2:51 says this, "Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them." He was obedient to them. Children, that's adults and young children, are made in the image of God the Son, in that kind of sense. And God the Son loves his heavenly Father and obeys him fully. And Jesus loved and obeyed his earthly parents. Can you see what that means for us? As children, and that's all of us, we should all love and obey our earthly parents because we want to love and obey our heavenly Father. Which is why we get passages like the one that we had read. If you're in your Bibles, turn up Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. We're going to focus in on verses 1 to 3. It says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Now, as I've said, when this bit of the Bible was read to the church as it gathered, well, children must have been there because it specifically mentions them. Children, obey your parents. But it's not just children by age. We're talking to children by relationship. That's all of us. And we're thinking about children gathering with the church and being included in the church and forming part of the church next week. But here we're given three reasons why children should honour and obey parents. Note the word that it uses is honour, okay? Which is love, but love that lifts up the person you are loving. Love that places the person we are showing love to as being higher than ourselves. So here are the three reasons this bit of the Bible gives us to obey our parents. Younger children who are with us, I hope you're listening because this is speaking directly to you, but adults, don't switch off because it's speaking to you too. And we'll see that actually, in a minute, we'll see that this is actually first and foremost something that we need to think about. Here's the first thing. First reason why we should obey our parents. You ready? God says so. God says so. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The guy who's writing this bit of the Bible, he's quoting a book of the Bible called Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, Moses, you remember Moses and the burning bush and the Exodus and all of that good stuff, Moses brought the people to Mount Sinai where God says, "I've saved you, this is how you should live." And the people ignored it and they spent 40 years in the desert, 40 years on the naughty spot, if you like, and came back 40 years later and Moses said, "Right, remember what I said 40 years ago? I'm going to say it again. It's really important. God saves us. This is how you should live." And one of those Ten Commandments that we live because of what God has done, that we do because of that He saves us, is to honor and obey parents. God is king. Jesus is king. He's the boss. He says what we do and what we don't do. Not us and not our parents. Parents, I hope that you haven't been living and displaying your authority to your children in a way that makes you seem like you are the highest authority. You're not. God is. And God says for children to obey parents. The way that we put it with our children, and Joshua will be able to tell you this afterwards, is that we say this. Who's the boss? Joshua, pretend we're at home. Who's the boss? Jesus. And who's he put in charge? Me. Do you see? Who's the boss? Jesus. Who is Jesus put in charge? Parents. So, reason number one, we should obey our parents. God says to do it. Sounds like all the reason we need, really. And let me just remind you, and this is something that us adults struggle with very much, God is good. Children, you struggle with it as well. God is good. The number of times I have conversations with people or people reject something because they think that God is being bad, that he's saying something that isn't for our good. God never says anything that isn't for our good. And so when he says, children, obey your parents, when he said, wives, submit to your husbands, when he says, husbands, love your wives, he is saying it because it is good for you. He wants you to live life the way that he intends it to, because it is best for us. So reason number one, God says so. Reason number two, life is better when we obey our parents. Now, children, it might not feel like that. Very rarely feels like that, but that's because of our sinfulness. Look at what it says. It's honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. The promise is that it may go well with you. Talking about entering into the promised land, but this is also true for us as people who live in God's eternal kingdom, God's nation in that sense. Life is better when we obey our parents. People who know how to honor and obey their parents are valued. Just think about in terms of being an adult, okay? Adults, children, this is gonna be helpful for you. Which is nicer to be around? A child who is being disobedient and dishonoring, or a child who is being honoring and obedient? Which one? The one who's being honoring and obedient. The one who's going, no, I don't want to listen, I don't want to know, I don't want to know, hey you, no. Oh, us adults will love you, but it's really hard. The child who is going, I trust you, I respect you, you're the grown up, I'm still learning, I'll do as you say. We still love them, but it's far easier. It will go well with you. Children, it is right and good and proper to love and honor parents and adults. God says so, that's the number one reason, but it is also good for you. Life works best. I mean, just think about it at school. If you were to dishonor and disrespect your parents and your teachers, what happens? You don't enjoy the class as much, you get told off lots, you have things taken away. You get the feeling that your teacher doesn't like you, and let me tell you, your teacher still loves you, but they find it hard because you're dishonoring and disrespecting them. Think about it in terms of getting a job. Okay, I know some of the younger children, this is nowhere near your thinking, but imagine that you've got a job. I mean, what would you like to do? Fireman, spaceman, Spaceman, that's quite cool. I'd love to go up in space. Let's imagine that you're an astronaut, okay? Now, if you have been loving and honoring and respecting and obeying your parents, and you love and honor and respect and obey grown-ups, if you have that attitude of loving and honoring and respecting people above you, well, then you will be a good astronaut. Because when your commander on the space shuttle or on the International Space Station, when he says, push that button now, you're going to push it because you obey him. He's in charge. He knows more than you. He's the commander. And so things work best. The space station doesn't blow up. Whereas if you disobey and he says, push that button now, and you say, no, I'm not going to. Go away. Who are you? Who made you in charge? The space station goes. I don't know if the space station can blow up, but anyway. Do you see? Life works better when we honor and obey our parents because we learn to honor and obey and be to submit to those who are in authority over us, those whom God has put in charge. And that is a blessing for all of life, not just in your family. Okay? Third reason. So number one, God says so. Number two, life works better when we do. Number three, life is longer when we do. Look what it says, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Let me give you a very visual demonstration of this. And if you've been affected by this, my heart goes out to you. But you're standing in front of a road. And your mum or your dad says, don't cross until I say so. They can see the car coming down the road too fast. You can't because you're that high. If you honor and obey them, your life will be drastically longer than if you dishonor and disobey. If you dishonor and disobey, you run out in front of the car. Your parents know what food is good for you. Your parents, I'm talking to the older adult children here, your parents have been through your life stage. And even if you are 40 or 50 years old, your parents still know more than you. They've had more experience than you. And so when they kind of urge you, and they might not understand everything to do with your life, but they know the general principles, when they say to you, don't do that, don't make that decision, that's a really bad idea. Trust them, because life works better and life is longer when we obey our parents. Children, as I said, our parents know what food is good for us. And so when they say to you, don't eat those sweets, eat this salad, they're doing it because they love you, they know what's best, and they want you to be a 50-year-old with a strong heart than a 50-year-old with no heart, because it's packed up and died long ago. Do you see? God says, obey your parents, which is the first and pretty much the only reason we need to do that. But life works best when we do, and life is longer when we do. When we trust our parents, we're more likely to avoid danger and difficulty. As we get up, we're less likely to have to wrestle with stress because we've learned the lessons the easy way from our parents. But as we said, ultimately, honoring and obeying parents helps us to honor and obey our Heavenly Father. Remember the role of the Father? Earthly fathers are to help their children to know and love our Heavenly Father. And so if our children are honoring and obeying us, children, if you are honoring and obeying your earthly parents, your mums and your dads, then you will draw closer to our Heavenly Father, because that's what they're helping you to do. But that's the thing, isn't it? Children, if you have got your sheets, we've seen that children should honour and obey earthly parents. Children should honour and obey our earthly parents. But here's the thing. It shows that we love our and obey our Heavenly Father. But that word from Ephesians 6, it's first and foremost for parents. Children should honour and obey our earthly parents, and this shows that we love and obey our Heavenly Father. It helps us to love and obey our Heavenly Father. But this is first and foremost something that us parents need to understand, because which comes first, children or parents? Which comes first, children or parents? Parents. When children are born, are they born knowing everything? I know some of them act like it. Are they born knowing everything? No. Children are born, they look cute and lovely on the outside, okay? We've got a couple of young ones here, okay? And they look cute and adorable and squidgy and lovely and, oh, aren't they? Bless them. But inside, they are rotten with sin, the Bible tells us. King David says, surely, from before I was born, I was sinful. So as you look at the outside of your children, don't think cute, lovely, gonna, if I just allow them to fulfill the potential that's in them, then they will grow up to be wonderful adults. No, 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 no. If you allow the potential that's in them to blossom and to develop, you are setting them on the road to destruction. So God says, children, obey your parents. And then he straight away says, fathers, this is your job. Bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This command is first and foremost for us parents to train and equip our children to obey us. And what is needed? It's that very unpopular D word. Does anyone know what word I'm thinking of? Discipline. Discipline. Teach your children to honour and obey you. Instill in them a love and respect for you, so that they might rightly love and obey our Heavenly Father. Do you remember that bit from Proverbs? Train the child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. And we have other bits of the Bible, like this bit of the Bible from Hebrews. So we need parents to teach children to honor and obey them. We got this bit of the Bible from Hebrews. The whole bit of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 to 11 is excellent. Again, go away and read it later on today. But listen to verses 5 and 6. My son, this is quoting from Proverbs, I think. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. If God, who is thoroughly good and loves us more than we can ever think of or imagine, says, I discipline people because I love them, then parents, discipline your children because you love them. We're going to draw to a close in a second, but I just want to focus in on and equip parents for this task of teaching children. Children, if you turn over your sheets, turn over to the back, you'll see that there are two boxes. And as I help parents, and I want you to be listening in as well, as I help and equip and give some insight into parents, into discipline, what I want you to do is draw in those two pictures. You've got a top picture, top box to draw, where I want you to draw a family where the children are honouring and obeying parents. Maybe they're standing by the road, maybe they're at the seaside, atop of a tall cliff, or I don't know. Imagine a situation and draw children obeying and honouring their parents. And then in the bottom box, This is where your wonderfully gory children's imaginations will run riot. Think of what happens in that same situation if the children weren't honouring and obeying their parents. So if you're at the top of a cliff, then have a child halfway down going, "Mommy!" Okay, think of any which way example. Adults. Let me just share some thoughts and observations on discipline from these passages and others. I've got seven because it's a perfect number. Number one, discipline, it's a good thing. It really is a good thing. Listen to Proverbs 23, verses 13 to 14. And as with last week, I'll put these on my website, on my blog, witchells.co.uk, for you to look at a later time as well. Proverbs 23, 13 to 14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, that's the rod of discipline. It might have been a physical rod, but he's talking about the rod of discipline, definitely. If you punish him with the rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. Discipline is a wonderfully good thing. We see it all around the world, in every aspect of the world. You drive down the road, on which side of the road? On the left. And you get told off by the police if you don't. Why? Because it's dangerous. It's not good for you. There are warning labels on things, disciplining us not to drink bleach. Never drink bleach. There are warning labels on things that are dangerous for us. The police will punish us if we are not being nice to people, if we are hurting somebody, because it's not good for us and it's certainly not good for them. Why are we happy for discipline to be out there in the world and never to instill it in our families? Well, because we think it's a bad thing. We listen to psychologists who do not listen to the Bible and do not trust and do not love and do not honour God, who say, "Oh, if you discipline a child, they're going to grow up sad and lonely with no friends and they're going to be awful and rubbish because you're squashing them." No. The Bible says you're squashing sin in them. And that is a good thing. Number two, discipline displays your love for them. We've got it right there. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that the time where God has disciplined you because of your sin is the time that actually you've drawn closer to him. I started vocational ministry at a church in southeast London, and I thought I knew everything. I was full of pride, still am, riddled with pride, and I'm, by God's grace, overcoming it bit by bit. But at that church, I was full of pride. I knew everything. And God disciplined me in a very, very far-reaching kind of way. And I am so thankful because I felt God's love for me as he showed me my sin was bad, but that he died for it on the cross and would restore me, redeem me from it. And I felt God's love in that discipline. If the Lord, who is perfect in his goodness and holiness and righteousness, disciplines people because he loves them, then you should discipline your children. Otherwise, you do not love them. Number three, punishment is necessary in discipline because it teaches consequences. It is no good to say, "Don't do that," and then when they do the thing you've just told them not to do, not to do anything about it. Because they see that the consequence of their action has no consequences. Punishment is necessary because it shows that actions have consequences. And this is the first part of the gospel. Do you see why this is important? The Bible says the wages, the consequences of sin is death. If you sin, you'll die. If you sin, God's wrath is on you. If you sin, you are separated from your heavenly Father in sin and sickness and death. And so you can show that to your children. You do what is wrong, there is a consequence. But it mustn't stop there. Number four, discipline must begin and end with grace. You discipline because you love them. Don't start in a place of anger. Start in a place of saying, I love you. So when your children do, I'll confess, and I know I'm not alone in this, us men struggle with this the most. We are prone to anger and tempers that flare. And Joshua will happily, and I encourage him to, because it holds me accountable, tell you that I can flare up. But I'm always striving to start with love. I love you. You shouldn't do this. I love you. That was bad. Start with grace. Discipline because you love them. End with grace. Discipline should lead to repentance. And that's why punishment is essential, because it shows that there's consequences and there's something that is wrong. It should lead to repentance, coming to you and saying, I am sorry. Repentance leads to forgiveness. Forgiveness leads to restoration. Restoration leads to growth, them growing closer to you and to our Heavenly Father. Let me give you a great way to discipline in grace. When your child does something that is very serious, you say to them, you've done this wrong, I love you, you need to know this was wrong, and I'm going to punish you because of it. Again, not getting angry. And you say, I'm going to smack you. Now, I know smacking is not culturally accepted, but hear me out. And you get their hand, and you wrap your hand around it. And you say, I'm going to discipline you because of what you've done wrong. But I'm also going to show you the grace that is ours in Jesus. Because just as he wraps himself around us and says, be one with me by faith, I'm going to die for you in the cross, and you are going to be in me on the cross, I'm going to grab hold of your hand and I'm going to smack my own hands. Punishment is served. Justice is served. Sin is paid for. But there is grace. Who took the punishment? Me. And show them how that points to Jesus. Now, as we know from Proverbs, that isn't something that you can do every time, because they do need to learn the consequences. But it is a way of showing them God's grace. Number five, discipline takes both parents. Ephesians 6 talks about honor and obey parents. And sure, Ephesians 6:4 says fathers, but we know that mothers are to be those wonderful helpers in this. And so it's teamwork. Don't ever let your children play one off against the other. Hear out for when they say one thing to one parent and then come running to you to get you maybe to say something different. Send them back to the original parent. Let me say how this kind of generally works. Dads are the ultimate fun and the ultimate discipline, because we only get precious moments with them, whereas mums, generally speaking, are the more everyday fun and everyday discipline, because they spend loads of time with them. And this is a good thing, because our mothers, our wives, are being wonderful helpers in bringing up our children in discipline and to love and fear Jesus. But when we come home, we can either support them and reinforce what they've done in the day, or we can support them and reinforce them in terms of fun and enjoyment, or in terms of discipline. Not as a threat, you wait till daddy gets home, but when daddy gets home, he says nothing different to what mummy has said. Dads, men, back up your wives, the ladies. Number six, make honouring and obeying mum and dad a non-negotiable. Make it a non-negotiable. There is no other choice. Number seven, your children are not worse than everyone else's. And we'll finish with this. Your children are not worse than everyone else's. Some of you, if I can humbly say this, you act like your children are awful and they're not. Others of you act like your children are wonderful and they are not. Your children are not as bad, not worse than everyone else's. Neither are they better than everyone else's, because Romans 3 tells us that all are sinful, there is no one good, and that we're all just as bad as each other. But it is true that you might not be disciplining them as you should, or you might be being harsh with them, or they might have hard hearts and are just not listening to your discipline. Or not responding to your discipline, I should say. But remember what the Bible says, Proverbs 23, 13, 14. It is good. So remember it and hold on to discipline more. Because the promise is you will save your soul from death. And here's how it works. All of us are sinful and stuck with the problem of sin. All of us need to change families. We are born not part of God's family because of our sin. We are born part of Satan's family. But Jesus died for us on the cross to bring us, to adopt us into his heavenly family. And he charges us parents with showing our children just how wonderful and how important it is to know and love Jesus, because of how terrible and disastrous the consequences of sin can be. So parents, let me encourage you, whether you are 30 years old with young children or whether you are 50 years old with grown-up children, find that way of disciplining your children so that they honor and obey you, not because you know everything, but because God says so. And help them to honor and obey our Heavenly Father. Let me pray. Our Lord and God, you love us, and sin is bad for us. And you show us that it's bad for us because you discipline us when we sin. Thank you for our parents, and as parents, we thank you for our children, and I pray that as children, we would love and honor and obey our parents, because you are good, our Heavenly Father, and you have said so, and we trust you. As parents, help us to discipline our children, to bring them up to know and love Jesus, and to walk rightly with him, not because that earns them salvation, but because that helps them to understand who Jesus is and what he has done. Helps them to understand what our Heavenly Father is like. And I pray through all of this, we would be doing this because as believers, we have been adopted into your heavenly family, Lord God, and we want to live like your children. And that means being like Jesus and honoring and obeying you. Amen.